Welcome to the Parenting with Impact podcast with your hosts, Elaine Taylor Klaus and Diane Dempster, co-creators of ImpactParents.com, an online community, award-winning blog, and service organization, helping parents all over the world to raise complex kids become capable, independent adults.
Hi, everyone. Elaine and Diane here. And we know that you want your complex kids to grow up to be happy and independent. And yet you're not always sure how or when to help with that.
In this podcast, we'll encourage you to collaborate with all kinds of complex kids and support them in navigating life and learning.
And we'll interview leading experts from around the world, as well as parents in our own community, talking about how training for parents actually helps these complex kids.
We'll talk about the issues we hear parents struggling with all the time and how a coach approach can support and empower your amazing young people.
We won't tell you what to do. We're going to help you figure out how. So let's move on to the next conversation.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode in the Parenting with Impact podcast. Elaine and Diane here today to talk, as usual, about good stuff that we think comes up with clients and in our community that we think would be helpful for you guys to hear about.
And I'm laughing because those of you who are listening didn't just see me wave. Those of you who are on YouTube just saw me wave, but like, I just realized, hey, this is a podcast, so people won't see it. So today...
We're going to talk about rules, agreements, boundaries, like what are they? How do you know when to use them? Like, how do you get your kids to do what you want and stay collaborative in the process? I don't know.
And I was thinking about this and it's like everybody uses these words.
So interchangeably almost.
Yeah. And we don't want to be the word police or what, but we do want to give you a sense of what we mean when we say these different words so that what we're talking about. And parents say all the time, it's like, my kids are doing risky behavior. I want to have a rule about we can't do this, or I want to have a boundary about this, or I want to have an agreement about that. And so we wanted to figure out, what is there a difference? Should there be a difference? How do you go about any of these things?
So, and how do you use them to your advantage and to improve the relationships and the communication, not as some external boundary or not boundary, not as... You know, we talk about systems and structures and the importance of them, but also having flexible structure. So we want to be able to use these in service of our communication and our relationship, but not have them become something that actually interferes with our relationships.
Well, you just tipped our hand, right? And that's really the overarching thing is, okay, yep, if you're going to have whatever you call it, a rule, an agreement, a boundary, whatever it is, you want to do it in a way that strengthens the relationship, because we know that strong relationships are at the core of what helps us to partner with our kids to help them to become more independent, to help them launch successfully, all those things that we want to do. And it doesn't mean you have to be your kid's best friend. We're not saying that. And there's a big difference between that and having a strong collaborative relationship.
Right. Diana and I were talking about what do we want to talk about today, and I brought this issue because I was talking to a client about the opportunity to create some agreements with their partner, with their co-parent, mm-hmm. and that they've gotten far enough in their coaching where they're now at a place where they can actually create agreements with each other, and they can collaboratively create agreements with their kids without pushback and defensiveness and all that stuff, to actually do it collaboratively where they're improving the family dynamic together by talking things through. You've heard us talk about taking aim and about designing. We'll put references to those in the show notes, but sometimes it's about figuring out where do we want to design, what do we need to design around. And very often we create designs around the agreements we want to have. How do we want to handle it when? Right.
And I think about, so I had a situation this morning with a client as well, and she's got an older teen, actually somebody who's over 18, who's smoking and vaping. And it was really hard for this mom because every ounce in her body is, this is terrible. I don't think he should be able to do this. All of this stuff was coming up for her. And we had to unpack it and say, this is an adult engaging in a behavior that, yes, is risky. Yes, all these sorts of things.
Yes, you don't like.
Yes, that you don't like. And what becomes your role? I've had this happen before. I've got parents of kids in California whose kids are smoking marijuana and it's legal and they're old enough. And it's this sort of, what do you do with those sorts of things? And then you've got real health issues, risky behavior issues.
And I want to say that the example I was bringing to you was about young kids ages like 4 and 7. This is applicable across the spectrum because it's about how do we find ways, how do we create agreements with each other? So let's break it down and go, okay, what are rules, boundaries, and agreements? Okay. And I want a full disclosure, when Diane and I used to first started working together, let's go back plus a decade more. I remember you wrote a piece called something about rules rock or something. Do you remember what I'm talking about? It's an article about family rules rock or something. I was like, ooh, I hate rules.
Well, and I think that the reason we use this language is because my bias, everything should be an agreement. Ideally, we want to be in a situation where even if we are the one that says, this is what I'd like the agreement to be, please buy into what I'm saying the agreement would be, which is what I would say a rule is, which is like one of the person saying, this is really important to me. This is the way we're going to do it.
Right.
It always works better. Is that true? Typically, it works better if there's a space for the other person to have their opinion heard, if their opinion can be built into the agreement, if you can figure out, is there a win-win here? If we can navigate it into an agreement, and there are going to be times that parents say, no, this is just not okay. And this is the example of, and it may be even a boundary, which this particular mom was like, I don't want to be around when you're vaping. And so that means that I'd like you to not do this in the house, period. Right. It's this sort of that. And that was a boundary with a request. Right. I don't want to be around this. Please don't do that.
So let's try to define a little bit. So a rule is a limitation that's established and ideally agreed upon, but it's an expectation. We try not to have too many rules in a house. When my kids were growing up, we had two rules. It was don't be mean to other people on purpose and follow the adult's directions. Very simple. And almost everything could apply there. But the rules are an expectation for behavior that people know this is what's expected. Typically, rules, I would say, are external. So typically, people may not have been part of creating them or may not have agreed to them. That's where it would become an agreement.
Right. So,
rule is often something that's, these are the family rules, right? This is imposed and everybody knows it's expected of them to follow the rule. Is that fair?
It is. And it may be that the parents collaborate together and say, this is what we want. The rule might be bedtime. No cell phones in the bedtime is after bedtime is often a rule that a parent might say, look, this is what we're saying.
Yeah. I got one. I had a rule when my kids were younger, when cell phones first started coming out. My rule was, if you want to sit in the front seat next to me while I'm driving, you can't be on a cell phone. That was my rule. They knew what it was. They could choose to sit in the back seat, but if they wanted to sit in the front seat, my rule as the driver was no cell phones in the front seat.
I'm laughing because I just did a road trip with my partner and I said to him, I'm like, okay, it's raining. No naps in the car.
it was like,
this is my rule. It's technically a request. He technically has agency and could have taken a nap if he wanted to, but it was like, this is what I need.
Okay.
Period.
So a rule is an external authority that we know we are expected to abide by.
Yeah.
Right. Let's go to boundary. Okay. Yeah. Boundaries tend to be something that people put in place to, for lack of a better word, to protect themselves. People tend to put boundaries to make sure they don't cross, to keep themselves safe, to make sure other people don't cross into their space or interfere with their needs.
Add is that my understanding of a boundary and different people, this is one of those things that people define differently.
Yes.
Is something that you will do, right? So I can't have I wouldn't have a boundary that says you can't. The boundary would be, if you do this, I'm going to walk out of the room. So for example, if you have a difficult tolerance for conflict, which I do, it may be if everybody's yelling and the voices are raised, I'm going to say, hey guys, can we calm down? And if not, I'm going to need to leave. And then I'm going to have the boundary of I need to leave and I need to not be in this room right now. But it's not, you can't argue, you can't fight. It's, this is what I'm going to do if that happens. And that's a distinction between a rule and a boundary.
To protect yourself, right?
Yes,
you
exactly.
You are putting a boundary in place to protect yourself. An agreement is when you, ideally collaboratively, but not always probably,
right,
come together with another person or party or family or whatever and develop and agree to either the rules or the boundaries, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
It could be either or, but there is a, there's, it implies a collaboration that I'm not telling you this is going to be our agreement. I'm offering this agreement or, and then somebody gets to say yes to this and no to this or is part of it so that we both agree to the same thing.
And a lot of times agreements are designed to solve a particular problem.
Yeah.
Right? So if the problem is, and I hate to harp on this, but phones after bedtime, right? It's just sort of, so it, or more technology than one person in the family wants. It's okay. So my kids are on the phone all the time or mom's on the phone all the time. You might say, okay, so what should our agreement be with regard to tech use? Is at the dinner table okay? Is at after bedtime okay? Is how many hours a night? That's, ideally, that's a one of those more complicated agreements versus a simple agreement, which is, hey, if you load the dishwasher, I promise I'm not going to rearrange it for you.
Or
I'm not going to tell you if I rearrange it for you.
I think about one of the agreements that, that my husband and I had when the kids were little that, that I offered and he agreed to was, we wouldn't go out two nights in a row unless the kids were with a member of one of our families. That was an agreement we created because that allowed me to put some boundaries for me around how often I felt like it was okay to leave my kids alone, particularly when they were very little. So I'm going to propose we take a break real quick and then we come back and we figure out how to apply this. Cool? Hi, it's Elaine. And if you like this podcast, you'll love our coach approach. Whether you're a parent looking for support or a professional supporting families, we invite you to download a free guide with 12 key coaching tools at impactparents.com/gift. You can begin using a coach approach to help kids become more independent or improve all of your conversations at work and at home. That's impactparents.com/gift. Welcome back, everybody. We are having a conversation about rules, agreements, and boundaries, and we've defined them and given a bunch of examples. So now let's talk about how to create them, particularly agreements, I think is what you and I both love to work with.
Yeah, no, and I think I want to focus in on the agreement piece of it, because what we've said through this conversation is whether it starts as a rule or it starts as a boundary, ultimately, what you're trying to do is to get some level of buy-in, which changes either of those into an agreement. And
yeah,
if I say that out loud, the first thing I want to highlight about an agreement is that just because you have an agreement doesn't mean that everyone is going to be successful every time at adhering to that agreement. I can't tell you how many times parents will say, my kids said that they would do X, Y, and Z, and then they didn't.
They didn't do it.
And they don't care about my agreement. And I'm like, yes, but we're dealing with complex kids. So they may not have the executive function it requires to actually do the thing that's in the agreement. So that's one of the things to pay attention to.
And what I would say is a really good agreement has an accountability for that. An agreement, like, so we may have an agreement that my teenager is going to set their alarm to get themselves up and go to school. And I'm not going to come in and say it's time to wake up. But then we might add to that an agreement of how do you want me to handle it if I hear the alarm going off and it's for 30 minutes and you haven't gotten up, then what happens? And that becomes an extension of the agreement, right? What are we going to do? And then what are we going to do if that doesn't get hit? Because if you talk about it in advance, it reduces the defensiveness and the resentment and all of that and allows you to just keep going on the agreement.
So there's so many different variables. We did a whole episode specifically on agreements and what makes strong agreements, just to highlight a few things. Number one is like making sure you've built in some contingency into the agreements. The other piece that came up as you were saying that, Elaine, is checking in regularly with everybody. How's the agreement going? Do you still like, or even when you set the agreement to say, okay, you know what? For the next 2 weeks, this is what we want the agreement to be with regard to screen time. Let's talk in 2 weeks. Let's schedule time on the calendar and see,
hey,
is it working for you? Is it working for us? How are you feeling about it? And do we want to continue with the agreement as it is, or do we morph it? And I think that's one of the things that changes it from a rule to an agreement, which is this sort of, our kids don't feel like, I'm putting my foot down and I'm never changing my mind, as opposed to, let's talk about how this is working for everybody and let's see in 2 weeks how it's going.
Yeah. So another thing I want to talk about in terms of agreements is that we talk a lot about taking aim, and an agreement is an opportunity when you take aim on things that you want to see changed, you want to see improved, maybe things that are irksome or bothersome. And oftentimes, particularly with teenagers and young adults, but also as parents co-parenting around younger kids, those are opportunities where we take aim often leads us to an opportunity to create some agreement around something. And so when I was talking to this client who had, as we were going through the coaching, what became clear was we identified about a half a dozen different places where it would make sense for them as a couple to create some agreements. Now, we don't need to do them all at once and we don't need to collapse it. But by capturing them, it, instead of these things being annoying and resentful and irksome, they became, okay, it looks like there's an opportunity to create an agreement about how do we deal with it when there's a meltdown in the car? Or how do we deal with it when someone's hangry? How do we want to deal with it when I want to have a family dinner and the kids have technology at the table, right? Those are all different areas that we could have some agreements about. And if we notice that and take aim on them, one at a time, yeah. Not all at once. You can start creating agreements about each of those things.
And the thing that I love about that is you're not, yes, to limiting it down to one thing, but then as you're going through the process that we teach, it's like the next step is to gather information. And so the next step in creating an agreement is what's important for this person in the context of this agreement, and what's important for this person in the context of this agreement, and what's important to this person in the context of the agreement. So you're gathering and saying, I've had parents do this all the time, going back to technology. I don't know why that's on my brain today, but it's like this sort of say to the kids, there should be some rules around technology. What are some of the roles that you think we should consider having? And if they say, no, there shouldn't, is it really okay to be up at 5 or 6 in the morning if you haven't been to sleep playing games all night or not? Or it's just, no, I guess it's not, right? It's just, you can stretch them to consider and think about what their perspective would be on what the agreement should be.
And the other thing that comes up to me around that is that what we're talking about is very often something that you can anticipate this is going to happen again. Something that happens that's frustrating or annoying or whatever, that it's not the first time and you know it's not going to be the last time. Those are the great opportunities to look for a place for agreement, because you can anticipate that there's going to be another late night. Like our response to that was rock and roll lifestyle, right? That was the strategy we use. But you can anticipate some of the typical challenges that happen in family life and begin to create agreements around them. And that can be a really powerful way to begin to slowly and very steadily improve family dynamics.
Which takes me back to another thing, which is, so if you're struggling with a problem and you're in the middle of the problem, and how many times if parents do this, and like, okay, here you go. You did this, it's wrong. This is what's going to happen. So that is what we would call a punishment, actually.
Yes.
You didn't agree to it in the first place. And so if they're surprised, wait a second, I didn't know that was going to happen. And all of a sudden you've taken away this privilege, or I'm not allowed to do that, or whatever it is. So part of this is, what do I do in the moment with an irksome situation? It may not be the time to say, okay, wait, what do we want the agreement to be? You might need to recover and say, okay, so wait, this happened. It was a hot mess. I don't want it to happen again. So tomorrow when everybody's calm, we're going to talk about what we want the agreement to be around bedtime and what time we're going to bed and that sort of thing.
So here's what just came up as I heard you say that it might be cool, right? Is that punishments, as you said, live in the land of rules without agreement.
Yes.
And consequences live in the land of agreement, right? When there's a good agreement designed, then everybody knows what the consequences are going to be. That's a real consequence. That's not punitive. That's not blaming. It's just, I like to say, let the system be the bad guy. We all agree to it. The system says, I'm really sorry, you have to miss this thing because that happened, but we all agree to it. Then you get to be on your kid's team instead of the one wagging your finger.
So are we saying that, because I did agree 1,000% with what you're saying, but are we saying that a good agreement has a consequence to it, or are there agreements that don't have explicit consequences?
I think sometimes they don't have explicit consequences. So if I go back to the agreement I had with my husband about when we would go out and when we wouldn't go out, we had an agreement. There wasn't a consequence to us if we didn't, but if we didn't honor our own agreement after a while, I was likely to be able to say, we agree to this and we're not doing it. What do we need to do to shift it? So that was a collaborative approach. When there's an expectation involved of somebody else's behavior, you might be more likely to have a consequence.
So consequences could be a tool that might strengthen an
An
agreement.
agreement.
Is that
Yes.
okay?
I think that's a great awareness. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I had parents will say, but we had the agreement. And I'm going to take us back to, even if there's a consequence, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be able to adhere to the agreement. I can't tell you how many times
Yeah.
in my house the deal was the phone was in my room by this time. And if it wasn't, you would lose your phone for the next night. And they still had a hard time getting, even though they really didn't want to lose their phone,
But
they had
then
a
you
hard
could
time
be,
getting the phone. But then we can rinse and repeat.
but then you could be compassionate. I'm so sorry you lost your phone instead of, see, I told you if you got your phone in, right? Like it changes your whole way of being with it.
And what that sets up, which is what agreements are all about and what we're all about in this, is you're helping your child change their behavior because that's really what you're trying to do.
And learn to hold boundaries for themselves.
Yeah. Yes. Longer
Right?
term, right? And I say that to parents all the time. It's this sort of, if the rule or you are the one that's managing the problem today, and it's a problem that they're likely to have later in life, the quintessential one is getting up in the morning, right? It's this sort of,
Right.
if you're the one that's 100% responsible for getting up in the morning and they're having to go off to college, either they've got to have a roommate that's going to wake them up or they're going to have to figure out
Another
something
way.
else,
Yeah.
another way. And so what you want to be focused on is, how do I help this kid get to a place of independence and self-ownership by the time they need to be able to do it themselves instead of just being their police, whether it's managing their technology or getting up or whatever it happens to be.
I love this. And it's time for us to wrap, but I thought this was a really good conversation. I loved it.
Always fun talking to you.
It's true. It's true. All right, everybody. What are you taking away from this conversation? What insight is landing for you about rules, agreements, boundaries, consequences, punishments, or anything else that happens to be in your brain at the moment?
And we could be talking about this a lot. This is, we only have what, 20, 25 minutes? And so if this is one of the core things that we work on and partner with parents around in Sanity School and Sanity School Premiums, so
All time.
if you are thinking about getting some support for yourself, please come and check us out and see the programs that we offer and see if we can be of support to you.
All right, everybody. Take good care of yourselves. Thanks for what you're doing for yourself and for your kids. You make an enormous difference. Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to the Parenting with Impact podcast with Elaine and Diane. For more information on the Impact Parents community or to join Sanity School for Parents, please visit impactparents.com. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with friends who need similar guidance and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For the essentials of Elaine and Diane's coach approach to parenting, download a free tip sheet at impactparents.com/podcast.
Behavior therapy training for parents is actually recommended as a first-line treatment for complex kids. For information about Sanity School, our training program for parents or teachers, which has helped thousands of families around the globe, visit impactparents.com/sanityschool.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.